Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 096. Yes, this is the old 96er here. We are trying a couple new things out there today. We're trying to do a couple different things for the podcast to hopefully make it a little bit more enjoyable. We're trying to smooth out a couple of the transitions that we had been having there and make it seem like a little bit better of a produced podcast. I mean, there are things that I do that I know is, you know, a real hack way of going about doing things, so I'm going to try and just get right down to it and get you your content, because I know that's what people really come here to hear. They don't come here to hear about what's happening around here, although I will continue to tell you from time to time, but still. We're trying to move things around, make sure everything's working correctly. So if you're looking for this podcast and you find it on the stream over at the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And if there's something you think we should do, something you want to tell us, or just something you want to share with the group even, you can email it to caffeination@gmail.com. All right, we have a great show lined up for you today. Bunch of interesting little tech tidbits. We've culled the best that I can see out of the stuff that's on the internet right now. We've squeezed it down and steeped it into one hot show for everybody. There's a couple little things to talk about. No, hardly any general information. A little bit of caffeinated bits. And then we return to some of the best PodSafe music around from the PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. All right, but first up, we just want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. We're sponsored by GoToMeeting. It's a web application that allows you to meet with other people online. It's a pretty cool thing. So basically, it's these days, whenever you're in business or you simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and your friends. Try GoToMeeting makes it easier to provide training and share information with your coworkers, family, and friends. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You invite people to meet you online, your attendees, they see your computer screen on their monitors. And best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for only one flat rate. But just don't take my word for it, although it is pretty cool. Try it for yourself, free for 45 days, no credit card is required. Just go over to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code PODCAST. And you'll get your little code there. You can try it free, like we said. That's GoToMeeting.com, the Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd just like to thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring this this episode and this podcast. It's been a real good partnership so far. So hopefully you're going to start seeing some improvements, some new things coming around. We're going to start using Skype a little bit more. So if you're on Skype, you're going to be able to find us at CAFFI-NATION. So we're still really reeling over the fact that somebody else picked Caffeination before we could. And, you know, I thought, you know, maybe a while ago I might have picked it, so I tried to reset the password. Yeah, it's not me. So if you are the Caffeination on Skype, I'm sorry I tried to reset your password. I thought it might have been mine. All right, we have a great tech tidbits section here today. What we're going to do is we're going to rock it out with a little bit of PodSafe music before we get too far on into the show. First up, from the PodSafe Music Network, we have a new song from a band called Departure, and a song called Idols. Now, it has kind of an AC/DC feel to it, but it has a voice all its own. So here you go. Here's Departure and Idols. We'll be right back.
knocking on things. Rocking on stage. We'll the fight for this place and from our stage begin. And everyone hopes that we will win. The party gets started and the sound is true. And I could suddenly think everything clear. Everything clear.
Again, that was either Departure or Departure, depending on how you feel like saying it, and their song Idols. So it was kind of a crazy little tune, had a little bit of an early AC/DC feel to it, and definitely a voice, like I said, all its own. So it's good stuff to start off the show with. That's why we named this episode Caffeination 96, the rockin' episode. So hopefully you enjoyed that. I'll get right on into the tech tidbits here. 2006, apparently, according to Slashdot, was the warmest year in roughly 118,000 years. Yes, that's right. Around 118,000 years ago, before the last ice age, which we were technically the beginning of our civilization, was at the very tail end of the ice age. It was around as hot as it was this year. Now, they take, like, it's not just, like, the temperatures that are around the planet that they take at any given point in time. It's 2006 as a whole. The number of record-setting temperatures, since we've been keeping records of temperatures, which is roughly mid-1800s, late 1800s, I think, and even some empirical data from slightly before that. This is the warmest it has been in over 150 years for sure, but signs indicate that it's the warmest that it's been in almost 118,000 years. And one of the weird things I've noticed about global warming, at least, is it seems to be more of a younger person's concern. There's a lot more people that are my age, and I would say anywhere up to like 50, 55, who consider that it's actually a problem. Because in work, I work with a lot of people who are a little bit older than that, and they seem to think that it's some kind of a grand conspiracy that the scientists have cooked up to try and make them do something. It's no, it's... Do you remember it being this hot when you were a little bit younger? Can you remember being a little bit younger? But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know there's exceptions to every rule, and there are people that are very concerned about the environment and everything that are older. But still, it just never really seemed to be It always seems to fall along those lines, at least in my experience. So I wanted to send you on over to that article, and they said, if we keep going at the rate that we currently are, the Arctic Ocean is going to be ice-free in summertime by 2040. So within our lifetime, most of the people who are listening to this episode, you might be able to actually sail a boat through the quote-unquote Northwest Passage that all the explorers were looking for. By the way, if you're hearing anything in the background, my wife is actually playing Viva Pinata right now, so... she has named all of her little worms and everything, and it's going quite swimmingly, apparently. But it's kind of fun playing that game, and it's really addictive. So if you're hearing weird little noises in the background, that's exactly what that is. Now, let's see what else we have. Now, when I went to buy a ring for my wife for when we were getting engaged, they offered this test, this brand new test that had come out maybe a year or so before we actually picked out the stone and everything, or before I picked out the stone. And what it is they shine a laser into the middle of the diamond, and it refracts light at a very specific pattern. So they mark where the dots are when it refracts the light, and that pattern is supposed to be unique to that diamond. And it has to do with the impurities or anything that are in the diamond, the facets, how it was cut, everything. They said there are no two diamonds that are exactly alike. So with that in mind, you know, that's like a material fingerprint for that diamond. So I have the print of her diamond, so we know that that is her diamond. They said if you, and it's done in the setting so that it, you know, you can actually get different readings if you rotate the diamond. So we will be able to really know if anybody ever messes around with it or anything like that. But still, there's something very similar that's out right now. It's called sonic fingerprinting. Now, I'm a trained archaeologist, and one of the things that we were told in class is that it's very hard for them to actually display antiquities, especially antiquities of value, because of the risk of being copied or switched out. And you've seen it in spoof movies and everything all the time. You know, basically somebody builds a perfect replica of something, and I mean, even back to the Indiana Jones when he tried to switch the bag of sand for the golden idol. I mean, while it didn't look like it or anything, it's supposed to have the same heft. Didn't really work out for him, and apparently, at least with art dealerships and everything, there's a very real problem with this. So what they've done is they found a way to actually fingerprint the materials. So for instance, if you had a Grecian urn, they would be able to use this new technology that acoustically fingerprints the material. It can find problems in it, and I know they did it to the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, not so that nobody would be able to take it, but to actually find flaws or anything else in it. What they do is they set up all these very, very sensitive sensors around it, you know, monitoring for vibrations, tonality, and then they hit the object with a rubber hammer. Now, it doesn't seem like to be a really good idea, but then again, if you take it, at least into account the Liberty Bell, some guy a couple years ago attacked it with a sledgehammer and it did barely left a ding. But still, they're talking like taking, you know, really light taps on Grecian urns and being able to see just from the way that the sound waves resonate throughout the entire thing that, you know, this pattern is unique to this vessel, and they would be able to actually detect flaws or anything else in buildings. I don't know how they're going to do this for buildings, but you know, there's a whole bunch of different things, all with acoustic monitoring. And one of the professors that I was working with in college actually had done a little bit of paleontology, something that was very near and dear to my heart when I was a little bit younger. And paleontology is this study of dinosaurs and ancient and now extinct creatures. But, you know, to put it simply, but still. One thing that they were testing was actually an underground radar. So what they would do is they would drill a hole probably around 30 feet deep, and then they would, or 10 meters if you're a metric country, around 10 meters, 30 feet deep, so, or something like that. And they would put sensors down in it, the acoustic sensors. Then they would take another cart off about, you know, half a mile maybe, and they would shoot a giant rubber slug into the ground. I mean, they just clear it out and you just slam it right down. And the force of the impact would actually cause vibrations to go throughout the ground. And this long 30-foot monitoring pole would be able to take the vibrations and map out, you know, kind of like sonar does in water, but just with a lot denser of a material. So it's using that same technology and using that same concept that they're now able to do it with much more delicate objects. It's kind of interesting. So, all right. Next little thing we have up here is apparently at CES, there was a couple journalists and everything who were able to actually sit down and have lunch with Bill Gates. And it just seemed to be really awesome. I mean, it just seemed to be a really cool thing to be able to do. It was a whole bunch of guys from different blogs out there. One of the guys who actually wrote about his experiences from Gizmodo. And there's a very famous picture, if you've seen it on Wikipedia and a couple other things, where Bill Gates was actually arrested in 1978. And nobody really pays attention to what it was for. It was just kind of like, wow, that's actually Bill Gates' mugshot. That's kind of crazy. And he goes into detail explaining exactly what he was arrested for. Apparently, Bill Gates, despite seeming like a giant nerd or whatever you want to call him, despite seeming like the uncoolest guy around, has a distinct love for fast cars. So he was clocked doing well above the speed limit three times, twice by the same cop, when they were moving the Microsoft offices from New Mexico, where they started, up to Seattle. So I guess when you're caught twice by the same cop doing 120 miles an hour on the highway, you kind of have not a leg to stand on, you know what I mean? So three tickets, he had to get bailed out actually a couple times. Just thought it was kind of interesting that he had that kind of past. I mean, everybody makes a lot out of, Steve Wozniak's love of polo and Segway polo and a whole bunch of other stuff, but nobody really ever talks about Bill Gates and the things he does. It's kind of weird because he's probably one of the most reviled nerds on the planet when you really think about it. I mean, almost everybody hates him. A lot of people look up to him, but nobody really, knows about him. He's kind of like a mysterious figure. He's just a dork. But he has a pretty good sense of humor, if you've ever seen a couple of his keynotes. He makes fun of himself pretty well. It's kind of fun. All right, moving right along, we're going to talk a little bit about Macworld and some of the things that came out. Now, if you read my post, the whole iPod phone and called the iPhone came out, and if you thought about it, a little while ago we actually talked here on the podcast, there was something from Cisco Network Solutions that they had the trademark of iPhone since 2000, well before the iPod actually launched. I'm not sure if it actually predates Apple's use of the I prefix for damn near everything, but Apple can't copyright or trademark the prefixing everything with an I, because I mean it just doesn't work that way. You have to you have to show a specific product or specific invention that it pertains to. And from the looks of it, Cisco's trademark's actually very valid because it's specifically related to hardware or software that is only related to internet telephony. So it looks to be the exact same thing. It doesn't say specifically a cell phone, but the iPhone came out and it looks spiffy, looks dead sexy and everything, but it suffers from a couple fatal flaws, at least in my estimation. I know that I have trouble dialing a phone, even as simple as my Razor, because there's not real big indentations from one button to the next. And I know people who can't dial those things at all. Then you take that one step further and it's a giant touchscreen, so there is no change in feeling when you're moving from the one to the two. So you're not going to be able to dial it if you're not looking at it. So that pretty much rules out a lot of the problems. Very valid there. But it has a whole bunch of neat stuff attached to it. We'll just see how it works out. But apparently ValleyWag, one of the interesting little websites that's around there, is actually kind of ripping on Macs, he's ripping on Apple because they debuted two new products that aren't available yet. That's it. There was no in previous Macworlds, Steve Jobs was, especially with the iPod Nano or something like that, he said, "Oh yes, and this is available right now in the iTunes or the Apple Store. You just had to refresh the page and you could buy whatever they were showing you." So you could put a pre-order in for the Apple TV or the iTV, whatever you want to call it. You can't put a pre-order in for the iPhone, and you can't buy the iPhone without a 2-year singular contract. So, I mean, it's pretty hardcore there. So we'll see exactly how that works out. But you should go over there and read the article. He didn't mention any of the couple other things that came out. Like, he didn't mention Leopard at all, which is the new operating system, which is really kind of suspicious because are they falling behind in their schedule? Because it was supposed to be released in Q1 2007. Q1's over sometime in the middle of March, April. So they might want to get up on that. Another thing is they didn't mention anything about the application suite or iLife 07 or anything like that. Nothing was mentioned at all. And he spent the entire time telling everybody how much money they had made, how many songs were sold, and then he debuted the Apple TV and the iPhone.
That's it.
It's kind of strange when you really look at it, given the other number of products that came out. And one of the things he said is that Airport Extreme actually did release a new router yesterday. So if you refreshed your the Apple Store page, then you were able to come up to a new product page for the app, a new Airport Extreme. You'd think they'd be able to at least, you know, mention it because it's using a new kind of wireless internet. It uses wireless A, B, G, and N, which is actually a little bit dangerous when you really think about it because the N standard hasn't actually been approved yet. So it's basically the international I don't know, order of engineers or whoever does it, all gets together and they agree on one standard so that everything that uses 802.11n does the same thing. There is no set standard yet, so if you're releasing a product that's 802.11n right now, it's a pre-N release, so it's possible that even after the final stats are all worked out, it might not work with it. So that's a little bit dangerous there. I mean, even the iPhone is going to be a 802.11n. So it's something to definitely think about if you're looking for routers or stuff like that right now. Let's see what else we have going on. How many people out there have actually seen The Italian Job? The movie where... In the movie, they actually took the streets of Los Angeles, hacked into the mainframe there, and screwed around with the lights just so much so that they would force somebody to go a certain path through traffic. Well, you'd think that would, just putting that in a movie would kind of let the people of LA know, you know what, maybe we might want to take a look at the security on it, because if it's in a movie, you know, somebody might try to do it. Well, apparently a couple city workers have been accused of hacking the LA traffic system, and there are two guys, it was the middle of a strike, so they were actually trying to make the strike seem that much worse by causing several intersections to go green at the same time. So, you know, going north-south would go green and going east-west would go green. Both people start going, accidents, roadblocks, making everything go red. So they basically did exactly what was happening in The Italian Job. So LA really needs to take a little bit of a look at their security in that sense, because it's really bad that two guys would be able to take over the entire system like that. Now, you also have to think about it. It's like, okay, if these two guys are part of the union that was currently on that was on strike at that point in time, do you think they acted alone, or do you think it was kind of nudged in their direction that, you know, somebody from the union said, you know what would really make this struggle seem that much more evident? If we had a lot of traffic jams. I mean, it's LA. You can't go from point A to point B in under 45 minutes, but still. Seems like they might be taking the fall for somebody. Hope they got what they wanted out of it. Let's see what else we got. All right, last two things here we have. According to the BBC News, the $100 laptop, the ultra mobile PC that they're going to be giving out to the third world children and everything to try and get them connected, and there's a whole slew of crazy stuff and crazy innovations that are going into these laptops. They're apparently going to be selling them here too, but here's the trick. They're not going to be selling them for $100. They're going to be selling them for $200. So that you're buying one for $100 and then your other $100 is actually going to give one to a child in a developing country. And that's kind of cool and everything, but on the other hand, it's like you're ending up spending all your hard-earned money to buy two products. So, I mean, I really see why they're doing it. It really seems like a good idea. I wonder if it would be a tax break to buy that, you know. I don't know. But it just seems like there's a lot of real cool innovations that are going into this. And it's also going to be kind of like the Sally Struthers adopt a child thing, because you're going to get an email address that's attached to the second laptop you actually purchased. So you're going to be able to talk to the person who gets the laptop you bought. You're going to be able to see how they're progressing, and there's a whole slew of really crazy cool networking stuff that's coming out of this. So I wonder how it's actually going to work out. It's a one laptop per child project, so you should really head on over there and check out the article. I'm not really doing it justice, but it's kind of an interesting little idea, so there we go. And then the last thing we have for Tech Tidbits today is Tidit. This is This Day in Tech. Apparently Wired has taken over that little designation designation. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm not the first person to use it, but Wired has taken over that designation and said that today, January 10th in 1863, the first underground subway service was taken into account. So now approximately 40,000 Londoners alone ride the train on that first day, and now 40 million passengers ride it a year. So the tube had its beginnings today in 1863. That's 20 years before the first hot air balloon. That's pretty crazy when you really think about it. All right, that ends up the Tech Tidbits section. Just a little bit of general information, as per usual. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can head on over to techpodcasts.com and see all the coverage of CES and all the different stuff that they're doing over there. I think they wrapped up some of the smaller vendors over at the Sands Casino, and they're heading on over to some of the larger main halls. There's a couple more days left in CES, if I'm not mistaken. I think it goes until the 12th. So you should definitely head on over there and see Andy McCaskey from the Slashdot Review podcast and Todd Cochran from the Geek News Central podcast. And they have a whole bunch of video clips up over there, and it's really good stuff. All right. The second thing is, this show is proudly listed over at Blueberry. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site. It's kind of like MySpace for podcasts. It's kind of a cool little thing going on. And the last thing we have here in the general information is, do you dig our show? Why not dig our show? If you've ever headed on over to Dig, it's actually called a social news site. It's digg.com. It's very popular, so I'm not sure how many people actually know about it who listen to the show, but still, it's kind of an interesting little idea. Basically, you vote on whether or not you think a story is deserving of notice. So you can either vote it up or not vote it, and thus vote it down. You can also do the same thing to all the comments that are under it. So if you see somebody who posts something that's, you know, obviously inflammatory, derogatory, or stupid, you can dig him down so that after, I think, 7 or 8 digs down, you know, it's like a -8 or something like that. You don't see that person's comment anymore. You can click on it to see it, but it doesn't interrupt the flow of the story. It's kind of cool. But now they released a support for podcasts. So if you enjoy this podcast, you could head on over to the link that we have in our show, which is also dig.com/podcasts/the_caffeination_podcast. You're not going to remember that. So the only thing you really need to remember is head on over to www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And you can just click on the Dig This Show. All right, let's see what else. Now we have our next little things from the PodSafe Music Network. Here we have a good rockin' band called Three-Legged Dog. That's 2 G's. It's kind of like Dig was 2 G's. And their song, One Good Reason. So I hope you enjoy this. Again, this is Three-Legged Dog from the PodSafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com and their song, One Good Reason.
My mind, my life's philosophies. I think the devil's in your soul. It's got a hold on me. We've all got a price to pay, and y'all should return. Give me one good reason why I should stay around. Give me one good reason you burn it to the ground. Give me one good reason why I should stay here. Give me stay ahead.
That was Three-Legged Dog and their song One Good Reason. Hope you enjoyed that. Had kind of a little bit of a harder feel to it than the other one. Still enjoy that kind of stuff every once in a while. You know, it's good to get the blood flowing. It's good to get a little rockin' song, a little rockin' music in here at the beginning of this new year. Hopefully everybody's enjoying what you have here on the podcast. If not, please let us know. Again, if you're found this show over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else, then you can find it at www.caffination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can send all your comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail, whatever else you want to do over to caffeination@gmail.com. And we have a MySpace account at myspace.com/caffeination, and my personal blog's over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. All right, now that we have that out of the way, we have our little bit of the caffeinated bits today. There's just a little bit of stuff to talk about today. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. We talked a little bit last time about the coffee-flavored vodka that I was going to be trying to create, that is. There was an article up online, and I still left it there, on how to infuse vodka with different kinds of flavors. So the only problem I'm finding is that I don't have any glass bottles around to actually infuse the vodka. So I'm looking around. As soon as I find something, I will start reporting exactly how everything goes. It has to be a tightly sealed glass bottle, so it's kind of not one of those things that you can just, you know, don't have a lot of them laying around. I think I actually threw a couple of them out when we went through our liquor closet, so, yeah, we're still working on that. Hopefully everything will work out. And one thing I wanted to put out there was how do you coffee or how do you caffeinate yourself? I know a lot of people who listen to the show do actually drink coffee. You do imbibe the nectar of the gods, so to speak. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people, a little bit of Red Bull, a little bit of Monster Energy drink, which I tried over the weekend, by the way. Horrible energy drink. Had a nasty aftertaste. Very chemical taste to it. I mean, yeah. Not a fan. All right. Not a real big fan of Red Bull. I think it has a lot of hype to it. But still, it's actually a good tasting drink, which is, a plus. But still, all right, and I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. We'd like to get a little bit of information back in, so you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com and say, I coffee by, or I caffeinate myself by, whatever you want to do. And we did a little bit of research over this past weekend, at least that's what I'm going to call it. I started comparing a drink called a Jaeger Bomb with a Red Bull and vodka. Well, Red Bull and vodka I've had many times in the past. It's a... It's not nearly as syrupy as actual Red Bull is. It can get you pretty wrecked pretty quick. The common wisdom is that people find themselves to be more alert drunks when they have this, so they don't necessarily feel as tired as they normally would when they were drinking. But still, it does not lessen the effects of alcohol at all. In fact, I actually think that. It makes them a little bit worse, but still, that's just from personal experience anyway. But a Jaeger Bomb's, or at least the ones that we had, was actually, Jägermeister is a very spicy liqueur. It's kind of it's a thick syrup in its own right. The only problem was that we were mixing it with Monster Energy drinks. Again, not a fun thing. So, it didn't really taste good. I actually like Jägermeister just plain. I'll do shots of it. Love it in Coke. It's awesome in Coke, but still. Not real big fan. So, the Red Bull and vodka have won this round. Just wanted to throw that out there. Not much else to report the caffeinated bits. We're following a couple stories with coffee, but nothing really hit me that I wanted to throw out there to you. So we're looking for any information, any stories you might find, drinks you enjoy. We're actually going to be inflicting one of our recipes on a lot of people very soon. It's called the Black Gold. You can find it in our recipe section. That's caffeination.com/recipes. But, just head on over there. It has a tendency to eat the lining of your stomach. It's a really strong drink. You have you vibrating off your couch. Hope you enjoy it. It's kind of similar to a coffee with an espresso in it, but it's all powdered ingredients, so you can pretty much take it wherever you want to go. That just about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show today. I know I did. It was kind of fun doing the show. Actually, this is the first Caffeination that my wife's ever listened to, and she didn't even get to hear any of the fun sound effects. So, yeah. No. So she really didn't hear that, especially since she just left. But still, it's been a fun show. Hopefully you'll head back to the next time we do a Caffeination. You can find this podcast over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can send all your comments, suggestions, feedback, and hate mail to caffeination@gmail.com. And you know the rest, myspace.com/caffeination, and my personal blog over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.